We're going to start from Pasuk Tes. And we're talking about Gideon, of course, and about the vision Gideon had when the Malach came to him in order to tell him that he should go save the Jews from the hands of Midian. So the Malach says, listen, I, speaking in the name of God, I save you from Egypt, from the hand of all your oppressors, I banish them from before you, but I gave you their land. So it's interesting, although you don't have it photocopied here, the Malach already said in Pasuk Ches that Hashem saved them from Mitzrayim. So why here does he repeat himself? So it seems here that the stress here, as opposed to Pasuk Ches, is that where he speaks about Halasi is coming to Mitzrayim, is that here there's an emphasis on Miyad Mitzrayim, from the hand of Egypt. Now I believe that the hand of Egypt represents the national salvation as opposed to the geographic redemption. In Pasuk Ches, where it says, Halasi Eschemim Mitzrayim, I took us out, I took you out of Egypt. So that's talking about the physical location. And here, Pasuk Tes, it's talking about from the hands of the Egyptians, in other words, that they were made a nation unto themselves, and that they were continuously saved throughout the generations from being assimilated into other nations or being subjugated by them nationally as opposed to geographically. An interesting usage in this Pasuk is the word Vatzil. Atzil here seems to come from the word tzel, especially because it's missing a yud. So it seems that the word tzel here represents that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves the Jews and gives them a national identity by putting them betzilo in his shade. In other words, they are in the shadow of the Shechina. That's what represents the national character of the Jews. V'amrochem, and I said to you, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am God your Lord. Los Yerushalayim Elokei Amori, do not fear the Elohei Amori, do not fear the gods of the Amorites, Asher Atem Hashem Baratzom. And I counsel warned you, V'lo Shmata Makoli, you didn't listen to my voice. Yeah.
Just, you will, the Votzi Etchem, it's again a striking parallel to the Nusach of in Sefer Shemot.
Yeah, it is very striking. And as a matter of fact, we're going to learn that's a good point. The Tzalti and the Otsi, and we're going to learn that. Well, that I don't know if that appears in Shmos.
No, that's
right. This is the additional. This is the additional thing. But the thing is, what's important here to remember is that, although we haven't seen it yet, but will be important and significant, is that this whole episode is going to occur on Pesach. This is all taking place on Pesach. That's about imminently to see. Vayavom Malach Hashem, so that was the general rebuke to Am Yisrael. Now we're going to find a specific Malach sent, and that could have been a Malach, or if I recall correctly from last week, it wasn't a Malach, it was a Navi who said this, Pinchas. Now we're going to speak about the Malach who comes to Gideon. Vayavom Malach Hashem, so now a Malach came. Now, according to the Ralbag, he says this later, the Ralbag says this is also Eliyahu HaNavi. It's not a true Malach. But most of the commentators say that this is an actual Malach. Vayavo Malach Hashem, a Malach came, Vayeshev Tachas Eilot, he sat under the tree, Asher Bofra, which is in the city of Ofra, Asher Yoash Avi Ezri, which was in the plot of land which belonged to Yoash, who was from Avi Ezri. That's one of the specific families of Menashe. The Gidon Beno, and the son of Yoash, Gidon, his son was Chovet Chitim Bagas. He was threshing the grain, rather beating it to get out the chaff, in the gas, in the wine press. Of course, he was doing it under camouflage. Lanis bifnei Midian, in order to keep it away from the Midianites, kind of keeping it away and doing it in a place which would not be apparent, in order that the Midianites shouldn't come and take the grain. Now, a few interesting commentators here on the pasuk. First of all, the Radak says, Malachim don't sit. I don't know. To me, it sounds from the whole episode with Avraham Avinu, the Malachim on the tree, that they do sit. Maybe it depends. Yeah, but it never says explicitly. It never says that they explicitly that they sit down. You can't catch the Radak on the language there. But it is difficult. I mean, it sounds like they did sit down. Maybe it depends who the Malachim are coming to. The Malachim are going to Avraham Avinu, so out of respect for Avraham Avinu, they'll sit down. If a Malach is coming to Gideon, so a Malach doesn't sit down, because a Malach doesn't need any rest. So the Ralbag says that this Malach, he just stood there. Vayeshev doesn't mean that he sat down, but that he waited. And we'll see what he waited for in a moment. Now, with the Rambam and Ramban at the beginning of Parshas Vayera, where it speaks about the Malachim of Avraham Avinu, they disagree. Where the Malachim which appeared to Avraham Avinu appeared actually tangibly, physically, or they appeared in a vision. According to the Rambam, consistently throughout Tanakh, whenever Malachim appear, the Rambam seems to hold that it didn't occur tangibly. This week's Parsha as well, in Parshas Vayishlach, where Yaakov Avinu fought with the Malach, so the Ramban says it was an actual battle, the Rambam says it was a vision. The Rambam holds these are all visions throughout Tanakh. This is important. It's not allegory. I want to stress that because some people made the mistake and think that the Rambam means that these are allegories. They're not allegories. The Rambam holds a Malach doesn't take on flesh and blood. If you see a Malach, it's got to be a vision. It's a low-level form of Nevuah. So therefore, going to the Rambam, all these kinds of things take place in a vision. Yeah. With Lot?
Yeah, with
Lot, also it had to have been a vision according to the Rambam. All these things would have to have been a vision. Hi, the other people saw it, right? Because the people, I don't know. I'm not sure what the Rambam would do with that.
They may have seen one thing.
I'm not sure exactly what the Rambam would do with the...
According to the Pinush, it says every one of the Shulchiyot until now, the Shoftim, was done by Pinchas.
Yes.
Is this the first intervention where it isn't done by Pinchas?
If I recall correctly, it is. But bear in mind that Rabbah says this is Pinchas.
This is still
Pinchas Elio. In other words, this Malach is also Pinchas Elio. The Rabbah is the only one who says that. Everybody else says it's a real Malach here, but the Rabbah says it's Elio. Pinchas/Elio. We are Pasuk Yud Aleph. It's chapter 6. 6:11. What was the Malach waiting for? The Malach was waiting for Gideon to display his zechus. What zechus? An interest, a merit, a mitzvah. What mitzvah was he fulfilling? Well, he was fulfilling kibud avim. He was taking into his hands the danger of beating the grain away from his father. And the Malach was also waiting for him to display courage, that he would go out and beat the grain despite the fact that the Midianites were all around. Then, when the Malach saw that Gideon was somewhat of a Oved Hashem, somewhat of a worker, and the Malach saw that he displayed courage, Vayiroi lo Malach Hashem, now in Yud Beis, in 12. Vayiroi lo Malach Hashem, the Malach then appeared to him. In other words, still now the Malach was waiting. Now the Malach appeared to him. And he said to him, Hashem Imcha, God is with you, Gibor HaChayil, the courageous man of war. Now, it's not clear whether the Malach was describing Gideon, or was blessing Gideon. I would say it's more likely that he was blessing Gideon and saying, Gideon, you've displayed signs that you have potential. May God be with you in order that you should develop further into a warrior. Vayome love Gideon, so Gideon had an interesting reaction. He said, Be Adoni, excuse me, my master. V'yesh Hashem imanu, but God is with us. You're saying, Hashem imcha, God is with us. In that case, why do we press like this? Where are all his wonders, which our forefathers told us about? Lemar, and when they said over, Halomi Mitzrayim, Elonu Hashem, God took us out of Egypt. And now God rejected us or left us alone. Vayinenu b'kav Midian, gave us into the hands of Midian. So the Rashi says here, and all the Mefarshim say, that Sipulon Avoseinu means last night we read Hallel. Last night was the Seder night. This was the morning after the Seder night. Right? I don't know if so.
He's working on
Chol HaMoed. The second Seder. What?
He's working on Chol HaMoed.
I know. You're right. It's a good question. I don't know. Either he wasn't, the Poskim don't pick up on this. It must be that it was either the first day of Chol HaMoed and he was working on Chol HaMoed. That was necessary because Shas Adchak, right? Obviously they're being oppressed. Or they weren't too from. It's true he displayed some schus, but he was working on Pesach itself because, he was not a completely religious type yet at this point. It's a good question. I really didn't think of it before now, but you're right. It was a celebration of Pesach. So he's saying, listen, last time we spoke about all these miracles, and now we don't see any of them anymore. So there's a very interesting Maharal here. The Maharal speaks about Gideon in a little bit of detail. And he says, from this we see a very fascinating insight on the period of the Shoftim. And Raul says, at the supposed time of Bayis Rishon, time of the Beis HaMikdash, miracles were a common occurrence. Left and right, you find in Malachim, Shmuel, even miracles. In Sefer Shoftim, there are almost no miracles. He says, so it says Shoftim was a time when miracles were rare. There was the revealed hand of God, which the Beis HaMikdash brought about, did not exist at the time of the Shoftim. The Shoftim was a time when God's power was concealed. It's a very interesting thing, and that's why Gideon was saying, hidden. And that's why Gideon was saying, where are all these miracles? If God is such a miracle maker, such a wondrous entity, why is he not making miracles for us now? Why is he letting us stew in the hands of Midian? So the Malach doesn't answer him directly, but rather, Vayivin Elav Hashem, God turns to him, and it's interesting here because you see that here we're going to go back and forth between the Malachim and Hashem, and the Rambam says that Gideon was not a prophet. Gideon is not held in the highest esteem by Chazal. He's considered to be one of the lightweight Shoftim, so to speak.
Sure, because he's a Gibor Chayim.
No, not because he's... Barak is one of the heavyweights, but he was also a Gibor Chayim. Yeah, but that's not why. That's not nice. Because he was considered to be a lightweight because later on, and we'll see what he does after he wins the war and he tries to make himself, you know, the leader. But in any event, be that as it may, the Rambam holds that he was clearly not a prophet. He wasn't a Navi. So the Rambam holds that whenever it says, though it says, Vayifin Elav Hashem here, it's only the Malach or the Navi speaking in the name of God. And we find that throughout Tanakh, that people who are not prophets seem to receive messages directly from God. And we have to realize that the Navi is writing in shorthand. It's not the Navi expressing the thought. The Navi, who is the author of Sefer Shoftim, is not the author, who is Shmuel HaNavi in this case, is not saying that Gideon actually received prophecy, but rather Gideon was relayed this message from God, either by the Malach, according to most commentators, or by Eliyahu HaNavi, according to the commentators, oh, this was Pinchas Eliyahu. So, Vayivin Elav Hashem, Hashem turned to him and said, Vayomer Leh, and he said, Lech b'kochas chazeh, go with your strength. The question is, what strength? So there are several interpretations of this. Either the strength which I'm going to bestow on you now, or the strength of your merit of Kibud Aveim, or the strength of your courage of going on and beating the grain, or the strength of your defense of Klal Yisrael. In other words, God likes when people stick up for the Jewish people and start complaining, hey, the Jews have it bad. Kind of like a Reb Levi Yitzchak Berdichev, right, who says that the Jews deserve to be saved no matter what. So God says, oh, this koyach, this power which you have is a wonderful thing. And Voshatas Yisrael, you should go and save the Jews, Mikav Midyon, from the hands of Midyon. Halo Shlachticha, because behold, have I not sent you? In other words, this is now, you're being sent by me in order to go save the Jews from all that which is going wrong with them. Vayomelov, however, Gideon responded, Bi Adonai, excuse me, my master. Bameo Shias Yisrael, how am I supposed to save the Jews? Hine Afi Hadalbin Menashe, my thousands, in other words, my family, are the most minute in Menashe. Vanochi Atzoi Beisavi, and not only do I have no Yichas, being the poorest of Menashe, but also I'm young. I'm the youngest person in my father's household. So how am I supposed to go and save the Jews? Now, I'd like to digress here for a minute and talk a little bit about Menashe versus Midian as a concept. The Tzadok notes, this is from my notes, you can follow along. Tzadok notes that Yosef preferred Menashe and Yaakov preferred Ephraim. Do you remember that? Remember Parshas Vayechi, right? Yosef wanted the right hand to go on Menashe's head and the left hand on Ephraim's head, and Yaakov crisscrossed his hands. And Yosef got annoyed, and Yaakov said, yeah, but I know. Why? Because Ephraim is bigger than Menashe. And in fact, it's brought down there, Ephraim is going to begat, eventually, Yoshua, and Menashe is going to give birth to Gideon. And Gideon is not as big as Yoshua. So, Reb Tzadok explains that the essence of Menashe is personal toil. And that's what Yosef expressed when he says, in naming Menashe, Kinashani Elokim is Kol Amali. God made me forget all of my anguish, all of my past anxiety. Why? because God assisted me to grow to the point where I transcended my adverse circumstances and uplifted myself. That's Menashe. Ephraim was called Ephraim because, as Yosef said, Ki Ephrani Elokim Beretzoni. God gave me additional siyata d'shmaya, additional flow of kedusha from on high. He expanded my consciousness. So Menashe represents the individual's own toil, what Yosef achieved on his own, and Ephraim represents what God gave him above and beyond that measure. And Ramsadat says that this is where, in essence, the give and take between Yosef and Yaakov as well. Yosef is always called in the Sfarim the Tzaddik. And a Tzaddik, we know, is an individual who's constantly battling with his Yetzer Hara. Yosef represents the battle, right? With the wife of Potiphar, with all the other temptations in Egypt. He's the one who's constantly battling and striving on his own. Yaakov represents an individual who is given a special degree of siyata d'shmaya from above. Like he says, katonti mikol ha-chasodi mikol ha-emes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu heaped great chesed, great mercy, great truth upon him. Yaakov felt that everything he received came from above. So Yosef was a fighter, a scrappy fighter, so to speak, on his own. And Yaakov was somebody who enjoyed the bracha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, of course, Yaakov had a rough life. But when it came to the kedusha that Yaakov enjoyed, he felt that he had great chasadim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him that kedusha in great measure. And the truth is, that's the difference between the avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Yosef. The avos received from HaKadosh Baruch Hu great spiritual potential in order that they should be avos. And Yosef, he had to fight it on his own. And that's why Yosef was particularly precious in Yaakov's eyes. Yaakov liked that attribute of Yosef. So, here too, we can understand why Yaakov, therefore, why Menashe was sent to wage the battle against Midian. Going a little bit more abstractly, Yosef and Menashe, who he identified with, represent Yira, represent mankind's fight, which is, we say, Hakol bidei Shamayim, everything is in the hands of heaven, Chutz mi Yiras Shamayim. What component do we bring to bear? Our fear, our vision of God, Re'iyah, which causes us to have the fear, the Yiras Shamayim. That's what Yosef brings to bear. What Yaakov and Ephraim bring to bear is the other attribute, which is the Chesed, the love which HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings down to us from above. And that is not on our own initiative, but rather that's something which comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not what Hashem demands of us, it's what Hashem gives to us. Now, obviously, that leads a person to very high madrigas, right? Yaakov is in a very high madriga. Yoshua is in a very high madriga. These are people, Yoshua is somebody who led Am Yisrael in a spiritual and physical sense to a great degree. He was the continued the torch from Moshe Rabbeinu because he was on this very high madriga and because he had this divine inspiration. But that's why Yoshua battled Canaan. Yoshua represents love, the Ava, the expansive trait, and he battles Canaan, who represented lust, the expansive trait used in a negative sense. That's Yoshua, he battled Canaan. Menashe represents the contractive trait, standing back, drawing away, the Yira trait. Not Ava going towards, in the positive sense or in the negative sense of lust, but Yira drawing back, standing away, curtailing one's involvement, just like Yosef had to curtail his involvement with all the lustful licentiousness of Egypt. And that corresponds to Midian. Because as we mentioned last week, Midian's power was the power of strife. Midian tried to provoke strife between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael. That's what Midian tried in the desert when they tried to get Am Yisrael to sin with the women at Baal Par. They didn't want the sin of Znus. That wasn't their intent. No, their end goal was to create Avodah Zarah, to get the Jews to be in a position of strife, to drive a wedge between them and God. The Znus, the licentiousness, was only a way to get to that end result. We know what was Bilaam's great power. Bilam was from Midian. What was his great power? Chazal say his great power was that he knew the moment at which HaKadosh Baruch Hu got angry. Whatever that means. And he was able, what?
And how to get
HaKadosh Baruch Hu angry. Right, how to prosecute at that time and cause HaKadosh Baruch Hu to get angry to drive a wedge between Am Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the power of strife. Yira misplaced. When one has too much Yira, when one doesn't have that Midah of Ava which mixes with it, then that causes that causes strife and that causes jealousy and that causes anger. Menashe is supposed to use that koyach of Yira, that power of Yira and fear in a good sense, and use it to rectify the situation. In other words, that the Yira should not be Yira which brings about strife and jealousy and kina or kanos, zealousness, but rather brings about Yira Shamayim. And that's why half of Menashe was placed in Eivar HaYarden. Why? Because you know, in Eivar HaYarden, on the east side of the Jordan River, there was a lot of murderers. It says there were 3 Ari Miklat for 2.5 tribes on the east side of the Jordan, and there were 3 Ari Miklat for 9.5 tribes on the west side of Jordan, because Begilad Shchichei Roitzchim. In Gilad, there were a lot of murderers. So they needed as many cities of refuge for those 2.5 tribes as for the 9.5 on the other side. Now, it could be that Menashe was among the Roitzchim, because among the murderers you would find people who excel in strife. But it could be that Menashe was put there in order to combat the strife. He has that power of Yiras Shamayim from Yosef HaTzadik. That power of using the fear for the right purpose, not for strife and jealousy, but in order to serve God with a clarity of vision and a perspective which leads one to awe of God. And that's why he was put there to use his bad use. To use his power to fight that. Now, the Radak says that Gideon thought this Malach was really a Navi, that he wasn't really a Malach, and that's why he's about to request a sign. He says here in Pasuk Tezayin, in Yudzayin rather, he's about to request a sign from the Malach, that the Malach should prove that he's going to be with Gideon, or that Hashem is going to be with Gideon. But first, Vayomei Lav Hashem, in Pasuk Tezayin, God says to him, Kiyemach, don't worry, even if you're not worthy, I will be with you. It's interesting. The name, the word Eyeh also is the name of God, which God uses, Eke Asher Eke, right, when he describes how he's going to say,
the same thing.
Right, when he's
and
going
to, was skeptical and insecure.
He asked for a sign.
Right, he also asked for a sign. That's right, Moshe Rabbeinu also asked for a sign.
He said he wasn't capable, he wasn't worthy of
it. Also, very parallel experience, right.
Give it to me, and who are you?
Exactly, there's a very big parallel there. And here too, it's the same name which is used, and same description. Ekeh means God, when we mispronounce it that way in order to highlight that it's one of the names of God. So Ekeh represents God's being with us even at a time of galus, even at a time of travail. I think that that's why you have, instead of the yud, you have an aleph, and instead of the second vav, you have a yud. Why? Because it means that there's a diminished presence of God. Aleph 1 is a diminished 10, right? You take away the digit, the last second digit, and from 10 you get 1, and the yud is a shorter vav. So, of course, this represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence with us even when it's less manifest. Even when we're in Golus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us no matter what, and he eventually redeems us. And this is what God is telling him. I will be with you. V'kisas Midian, and you will wipe out Midian, ki'isha achad, as if they're one person. V'yomer lo, but Gideon is not convinced. He says, if I have found favor in your eyes, v'sisa li'os, make for me a miracle, a sign. Sh'atom daberi me, that you're speaking to me. In other words, that you are sent from God. Not that you're speaking to me. Of course he knows that this Malach or this Navi, whatever it is sent by God. But he wants a sign that this Malach or this Navi is authorized by God to promise that Gideon will have the strength. So, what does he come up with? He says, Ana samush mizeh, don't go away from here, ad bo'i elecha, until I come back. V'otzeitzi min chasin, I'll bring an offering. V'inachti lefonecha, and I'll put it before you. Vayomer, and the Malach said, Anochi Yeshev at Shuvavecha, I'll stay here till you get back. Now, the Malbim explains that this, according to the Malbim's approach, is that this is a true Malach. not a Navi, but not an Elio, not Pinchas, but a true Malach. And he says the purpose of the oath of the sign was twofold here. A Malach can only accept an offering if he represents a supernatural Hanhaga, the supernatural intervention of God, not natural salvation. That is a mind-boggling concept in and of itself. Rabbeisai, the Malbim is saying here that a Malach can accept an offering. A Malach can accept a sacrifice when the Malach represents God directly. We'll see that later in the Psukim, how that plays itself out. But that certainly sounds like a dangerous concept. Sounds a little bit like Avodah Zarah to us, right? All right, let's see how that plays out. So Gideon wanted to ascertain that this is going to be a case where this Malach is going to promise that the salvation will be successful even if it's Rabbi Miad Matim, even though there are not very many Jews and there are very many Midianites. So he wanted to ensure that this would be a successful salvation regardless.
Why is that question coming up about a Malach being capable of receiving a korban or mitzvah? There's really three parties here. There's one interspersed. There's the Malach, there's Gidon, and there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Directly.
What? There's three, yeah, so...
Vayomer Elav Hashem.
No, but that's what I said before, that God didn't speak to him directly. Even though it says Vayomer Elav Hashem, God could not have spoken to Gidon directly here. It's the message given over. That's what the Rambam says. Gideon was not a Navi.
Rambam says.
But even if we don't know like the Rambam, it seems that this whole conversation is just going on between Gideon and the Malach. And you'll see why in a moment, because obviously when we get to the end of the story, we're going to see that Gideon was astounded that this Malach went up in a flame to the heavens. So it's clear that Gideon was not used to this kind of supernatural phenomenon. If he was a Navi and God was speaking directly, he wouldn't have been bothered by this kind of thing. So it's unlikely that this was actually taking place in a way that Gideon was conscious of the greatness.
Moshe was pretty dumbfounded.
Right.
When HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke directly to him.
But he never said, I'm going to die because of I saw this net. We'll see that by Gideon. He's going to say that. A couple more psukim. We'll see. So I don't think that Hashem spoke to him directly. Let's see, in any event. But another thing here is that another reason why Gideon wanted the sign is interesting. The Malbim says, Hashem doesn't renege on a promise of good for the entire nation. But Hashem does renege on a promise of good if it's to an individual. Because that's contingent on that individual's merit. Am Yisrael, they always, once a promise of good comes out for Am Yisrael, it's permanent. But when a promise of good is issued for an individual, it's contingent on his behavior.
Example.
What?
Example.
Any gzar din. There's a lot of times we say that a person can have a gzar din l'toiv for good, but if he does something wrong, like a person who engages in nibul peh, even if there was a gzar din l'toiv, they rip up the gzar din and they start over again.
No, but without pushing it too far, my question is not about hashkafa, but about historical incident where it happened.
I don't know offhand. I can't recall. I'm on the spot. I can't recall. That's a good question. I don't know. So Gito, but the Malbim says that where you get a sign. Again, I don't know where the Malbim gets this from. The Malbim says where you get a sign, then even for an individual, God does not renege. When does God renege for an individual? When there is no sign, no miracle attached to it. But when a sign was given, when there was some tangible covenant, that does work. And that, he says, explains Brisbane, I'm sorry. Why was it so important to have the covenant between the pieces of the carcasses, which Avraham Avinu laid out? Because at that time, Avraham Avinu wasn't yet a nation. So therefore required a bris, which would be like a binding contract between Am Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch, between Avraham Avinu and HaKadosh Baruch. So here too, the Malbim says, hey, I want to know Matzasi Chein Beinecha. I want to know if I, as an individual, can merit the salvation, and for that I need a sign, in order that you won't renege. But Cecily, and also want to know if you are now promising a supernatural promise of miracles to occur at the time that the salvation will ensue through me. And so therefore he says, wait a minute, I'm going to get a mincha. Now, let's go to Pasuk Yutes. The Gideon ba, Gideon came back. Vayask dizim, and he had made a goat. Ve'efas kemach matzos And he made also a measure of matzos. We see here again Pesach. Habosar sam basal. He put meat in a basket. Vamarok sam parur, and he put also sauce or soup or gravy in a pot. Vayotzi elav, and he brought it all this stuff el tach seila to underneath the tree. Vayagesh, and he put it before the malach. Vayomi elav malach elokim, the malach said to him, kachas habosar. Take the meat, vesa matzos, and the matzos, vanachel asel alos, and put it on that stone. Vesa marok shvoch, and spill the soup. Now, some commentators say spill the soup means spill it on the meat and on the mincha. But it's possible that it means here, just spill it on the ground. Vayas kein, and that's what Gidon did. Why? So the Malmi explains very interestingly, he says that sometimes the Malach accepts a korban and directs it to God, which is in fact what's going to happen here. Sometimes the Malach consumes the food himself, which is what happened by Avraham Avinu together with his Malachim. So here, and we are, Kodesh Baruch Hu, here Gidon prepared for both possibilities. He prepared the meat and the mincha, the korban and the mincha for actually a true carbon. He prepared the gravy if the Malach would want to eat himself. So the Malach tells him, I'm not eating. You're not Avraham Avinu. I don't eat your food. So therefore, put him down on the rock. Yeah, he doesn't trust the kashrus. He saw it was being Mechal Yantif. How can he trust the kashrus? Somebody's Mechal Yantif. So he put it down. Vayaske. Vayishlach Malach Hashem Tzem Mishanas Hashem Yodo. So the Malach took the rod which was in his hand, and he cast his rod, and he touched the meat and the matzos, and fire came out of the rock, and he consumed the meat and the matzos, and this malach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now note the change in language. Until now we're talking about malach Elohim. If you take a look back in Pasuk Chav, it talks about Malach Elohim. Here, all of a sudden, we start talking about Malach Hashem, Yudke Vavke. We'll come back in a second. Malach Hashem, Holach Meinov, the Malach went away from his eyes. Now, the Rabbah says, oh, from this we see that this Malach was Elio. Why? Because we know that Elio used to go up in fire all the time. So here, too, is Elio Navi, and this is one of the times, and poof, he disappeared with the fire and the smoke. But most Mepharshim say it's talking about the Malach, an actual Malach, not Elio. And the reason why it says Malach Hashem, according to the Malbim, it's an interesting thing, because the Pasuk says that Zovech Lokim Yocharam Biltil Hashem Levato. Somebody who sacrifices a sacrifice to Elohim is should be put to death, and you can only sacrifice to God. So most interpretations of the Pasuk, which is the Pasuk in Chumash, are that you can't sacrifice to foreign gods. But the Malbim says that Zovech Lelokim doesn't just mean foreign gods. It means if you're not allowed to worship an attribute of God. You can't isolate an attribute and say, I'm worshiping now God's mercy. I'm worshiping now God's anger. I'm worshiping God's kindness. You can't do that. You have to worship God in its totality, so to speak. Taking an attribute of God and saying, well, this is separate from God as a whole, and this is what I'm praying to, is a form of Avodah Zarah. And that's why, you know, a lot of yeshivas, they don't say the slicha during slicha of midas harachamim. I forget how it goes. There's a certain slicha which directs our prayers to the midas harachamim. So this in certain yeshivas, they change that because you say you can't daven to the midas harachamim. It's like taking one trait of God and isolating it and davening it to it, which is forbidden. So here too, as long as the malach is called malach Elohim, it cannot accept the sacrifice. And it's true, here the malach didn't accept the sacrifice literally. It's not as dramatic as the Malbim seemed to put it before. The malach didn't consume the sacrifice. The Malach directed the sacrifice. But even to direct the sacrifice, the Malach can't do if it represents a specific element of Hashem's conduct vis-a-vis the world. It has to be that the Malach represents the totality of God, represented by the name Yudke Vavke, in order for the Malach to accept the carbon from Gidon. So therefore, there's a change in the pasuk. The change in the pasuk is from Elohim, Malach Elohim, to Malach Hashem. And at that point, once he's designated and identified as a Malach Hashem, he's allowed to direct the carbon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after the carbon was brought, what did Gideon say? Vaya Gideon ki Malach Hashem Hu. Gideon said that saw that this is a Malach Hashem. Obviously, he wasn't afraid, according to the Malbim, as long as it was a Malach Elohim. That's not so supernatural. But now he saw it's a Malach Hashem.
Would you say the opposite? Because Hashem represents Rachamim, and Elohim represents Midas Adin. So before, he was Malach Hakim, which was he was afraid because it was Midas Adin. Now he sees it's Malach Hashem, which is, should be Rachamim.
But that's clearly not what the Pasuk is saying. Vayagidon ki Malach Hashem hu. Right, it's saying he was afraid because it's a Malach Hashem. So the reason why Yudke Vavke represents Midas HaRachamim is precisely because it's a higher manifestation of God's relationship to the world and more inclusive than the Shem Elohim. Elohim is a name which focuses on specific details. That is the definition of Midas Adin. Let's see how you do in this detail, how you do in this aspect, were you worthy of this bracha or not. The name Yud Kei Vav Kei represents Midas HaRachamim precisely because it doesn't represent details, it represents an overall perspective, a higher perspective. So it's, in essence, although it's ironic, it generates more fear to be connected into the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, even though that's a Midas HaRachamim, than the name Elohim, even though it's a Midas HaDin. Why? Because it's a higher, loftier level of God's conduct of the world. So therefore, when Gideon saw it's a Malach Elohim Hashem, then he was afraid. Now, that's, again, as I said, one perspective, which the Malach gives, is because a Malach Hashem is a higher level of Shechina. And besides that, in general, the Malvim says, he thought, Gideon said, that spiritual entities can only be seen by those of us who are destined to immediately die. Why? Because then, when we're going to become spiritual imminently, right before our death, we are granted the capacity to see spiritual things. Why is that? A number of reasons. First of all, you're more spiritual right before you die. Besides that, a person, as long as he's alive, is supposed to have bechira, free will. If you could see malachim, you could see spiritual things, you wouldn't have bechira anymore. You'd see the whole realm of Kedusha, the whole realm of sanctity, you would be, or your Bechira at least would be severely hampered by the fact that you saw these great things happening in front of you. So Gideon was afraid, this is it.
And you don't see, or you can see dream, or you can see...
Even in a dream.
So this doesn't come from preview?
Much less. Much less free will than other people. A tzaddik has less free will than other people. Yeah, because he went up to a higher level. That's correct. So, but now, let's make something clear here. Which is that Gideon obviously was not on a high level. Had he been on a high level, he really would have realized that if he was going to die, he would have died. There's no such thing as, I'm imminently going to die. Either that's it or it's not it. Besides that, obviously, even though we said Malach Hashem is a higher level than Malach Elohim, he wasn't seeing God. It just means there was a greater manifestation of Kedusha when a Malach represents Yudke Vavke than when a Malach represents Elohim. So it wasn't as if he was saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. There's no such thing as seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course. It was still a Malach. Malach Hashem is also a Malach. It's a higher level, so to speak, of Malach. Even in Malachim, there are distinctions. Depending on what the Malach is sent from, it's a higher level of Malach. You know, Malach is an agent. So if you're an agent of the president, you're in a higher madrega than an agent of a janitor. So too, Malachim. They're the levels of Malachim.
It's not the same thing.
Right. Only in America. So the same thing.
I could see.
So the same thing. And so in Malachim, there's also levels of distinction. But Gideon, obviously, he wasn't in tune with that kind of approach. He wasn't on that high level of understanding. Alright, but in the meantime, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Gideon says, since I saw the Malach of the Shechina of Yud Kei Vav Kei face to face, I'm going to die. Vayomer lo Hashem, so Hashem said to him, don't worry, shalom lach, you're whole, you're complete, you're going to remain whole and complete, in other words, you're not going to separate your neshama from your body. Al tira, don't worry, lo tomus, you're not going to die. Vayivin shom gidom mizbeach Hashem. Gidom built a mizbeach then for God, on the spot. Vayikra lo Hashem shalom, and he called it, God is my peace. Now there are two versions here. One is that Vayikra lo, that he called the Mizbeach Hashem shalom. The other one is Vayikra lo Hashem, that Hashem called this Mizbeach shalom. And why is this Mizbeach called shalom? By Hashem? We'll see that in a minute. Ad hayom hazeh, in any event, until this very day, Odenu, the Mizbeach is still there, Be'efras Aviya Ezri, in the city of Efras, in the plot of the family of Aviya Ezri. Now this is during the day. Vayi balaylo, what happened at that night? Vayom elo Hashem, Hashem said to him, kaches parashor. Asher is the second seder. Asher labicha. He didn't want to sacrifice during the day. That he was too afraid to do. Because the people, they were all worshipping the Baal all around him. So God said to him, Kachas parashar lavicha, asher lavicha. I know you want to sacrifice your father's cow, your father's cow. Okay, your father's ox, bull. Take that. But besides that, Uparasheni Sheva Shonim. Take the second bull, which is the town's bull. And this is the town's bull which they had fattened for the last 7 years. For 7 years they fattened this bull in order to sacrifice it to Avodah Zarah. Now the Malbim points out, how many years were they under the jurisdiction of Midian? 7 years. For 7 years they were fattening this bull and waiting for the day when they would be able to vanquish Midian and then make a great big feast by sacrificing this bull to the Baal.
Wait a minute. What about
Tovel
the Sheretz Fiyadol? It's not. Take your father's
shore
and take it from the ear.
Yeah,
it's not his.
Right. The Radak brings down, and the who else brings down? The Rashi brings down as well that there were 8 averis which were permitted that night in order for Gidon to transgress in sacrificing the korbanos he's about to sacrifice. 8 of them. Not going to count them right now, but there were 8 averus. Why? Just a minute. Okay, but he was told to transgress 8 averus in sacrificing these sacrifices. Va'ibalailu came to Bas Vayomelo Hashem. Now bear in mind, it's not necessarily Hashem speaking directly. It could be through a prophecy. It could be through, but unlikely. It's probably either through a dream or through some other navi coming to him or Malach. Take the 7 year bull. Destroy the Mizbeach HaBaal which your father has. That's Asherah and the Avodah Zorah tree, which is standing over it, Asherah love, Tichros, that you have to cut down as well. Both of them. And build another Mizbeach for God. On top of your Mizbeach, the Mizbeach which you Gideon just built, God calls Ma'oz, the strong one. We'll see why in a minute. Build another one. On your Mizbeach, you sacrifice your father's cow, your father's bull. Then build another Mizbeach, Ba'aracha, with the stones from the Baal's Mizbeach which you just destroyed. V'lokasta sapar hasheni, and on that, then take the 7 year bull, v'alisa ola, and bring that as a korban, v'atzi asherah, with the wood of the asherah tree, asher tichros, which you're going to cut down. All these are averus. Not allowed to use the stones, not allowed to use the trees. All these averus, Hashem is being matir for him. V'ikach Gidon, so Gidon either needed 10 people for assistance or for Kiddush Hashem. He wanted to do it in front of 10 people. But he still didn't want to do it during the day. That courageous he wasn't. But he asked Hashem, Diber love Hashem. He did like Hashem, Hashem commanded him. Since he was afraid of his father's house, for doing it by day, he did it at night. Now the Rabbah says, why were all these Yisurim suspended here, all these Averos? The intent was to increase Gidon's Emunah, Gidon's strength, faith in God, by bold acts against his upbringing. In other words, his entire life he had been trained, this is holy, this is sacred, this is the Baal, this is the Asherah, this is what we worship. And he was being told to go against all of these things, all the things which he had brought up, he believed, had all this awesome might and power to go against all that and do something which completely rebels against that. Hi, there's theft involved, there's carbonos from things which are forbidden, there are using things which have been used for avodah zarah, but all this was worthwhile in a Rosh Shah, in a temporary decree by God, in order to fortify Gideon's emunah, Gideon's faith in God. Alright, he went and he did it. Vayashkimu anshei habah and ha'ir, so the people of the city got up early in the morning, Baba Oker, v'ineinu tatz mizbeach haba, and behold, the mizbeach haba was destroyed, v'asher alav karasa, and the tree on top of it was ripped down, and the second part of the 7-year Kabul was sacrificed on this new Mizbech which was built. So they said to each other, what's going on here? Who did this? They checked it out. And they looked into it. And they looked for the guy. And they said, Gideon ben Yoash also Dabraze. It was Gideon the son of Yoash. So the people of the city said to Yoash, Hotseyas bin Chavi Yamas. Bring out your son and he will should die. We should kill him. He notats es mizbach ha'baal because he destroyed the altar of the Baal, the chikoras asher asher olav, and he destroyed the Asherah tree, two avodah zarahs in one day, which was standing on top of it. Vayomer Yoash l'chol asher amdu olav. So Yoash said to all those who stood by him, Hatem tivu la'baal. You're going to fight for the Baal. So you're going to save him. Asher yariv lo, he who fought with the Baal, yumasad boker, will die, who should die by daybreak. Im Elohim hu, if he's a god, yorev lo, let him fight his own battles. Ki notzatz es mizbecho, that somebody broke down his altar. Now there's a very big argument here between the Rabbag and the Malbim. The Malbim says that he argued with them to win them over to Hashem. And according to the Malbim, it was already daytime. It was already the next morning. And the Malbim was, according to the Malbim, he was saying to them, guys, look, if Baal is really God, what would Baal have done by now? He would have killed Gideon. Since Baal didn't kill Gideon, it must be that Baal's not a God. According to the Rabbag, the exact opposite is true. According to the Rabbag, it was still the middle of the night. It must have been there was a great commotion. And they all heard and came running. So they went to Yoash. Okay, before daybreak. Vayashkimu Babli means they got it before daybreak, early in the morning. So they went to Yoash. Now says the Rabbag, Yoash, since he obviously had this grant, this mizbeach for the Baal and his property, and he had this, he must have had these two cows, all these two bulls, also his property. He was the Kohen of the Avodah Zarah. He was the priest. And he said, don't worry, we're going to get Gideon. I don't want you guys to do it. I want it to be a real Kiddush HaBaal. I want the Baal himself to do it. And by daybreak, for sure, Baal's going to kill my son Gideon. That's what he was saying.
That was a stolen text.
No. According to Rabbag, he really meant it. Yeah. So, Vaikrolo Bayomahu. And he said on that day, Yerubal. They called Gideon Yerubal. What does Yerubal mean? Lemar Yorubal, which means let Baal fight with him. Ki notatetz mizbecho, because he destroyed the mizbeach, because he destroyed the altar of the Baal. So again, here according to the Rabbag, this is a fervent prayer on Yoash's part. May God in fact smite Gideon down. According to the Malbim, this was a statement of mockery against the Baal. Ha, the Baal should have fought with Gideon. Look how much validity the Baal has if he can't smite Gideon down. Okay, but Gideon, be that as it may, in the meantime, Gideon had clearly been fortified by this brave act of rebelliousness which he had performed. The whole Midian of Amalek, all the Midianites and all the Amalekites of Nekedim and the people from the east, the Esuyachto, they had gathered together, Vayavru, and they came from their places, Vayachnu Ve'emek Yisrael, and they had planted themselves in the valley of Israel. Ruach Hashem Lovshaz Gideon, the spirit of might, took over Gidon, and this is the Rambam says the lowest level of Ruach HaKodesh, of divine spirit, is a spirit of courage above and beyond what a person normally has. That's what Gidon got. Vayiskav a shofar, and he blew a shofar. Obviously, it's also a sign of tshuva. Vayizoyk Aviezer Achrav, and the first who came behind him were the people of Aviezer, the people of his tribe in Manasseh. Umalochim shach, and here he sent messengers. These are not real angels. These are messengers. B'chol Manasseh, all over Manasseh. Vayazik Amachrav, he sounded the alarm and brought after him all of the Manassehites. Umalochim shach ba'asher v'zvulim Naphtali, and he sent messengers to Asher, Zvulim, Naphtali. Vayali crossed him, and they all came up towards him. Now there, it seems again very few tribes came, just like with Dvorah, very few tribes came. There doesn't seem to be much unity. But
not only that, it's he chose which tribes to invite.
Right, that's what it seems, that he chose. But the truth is, we have to realize this is all taking place very quickly. This is all in a span, the whole Maisa takes place in a span of maybe 2 days. So there wasn't time to get to the rest of the Jews. So I don't think we should judge too harshly the other Shvatim in this case. Here, it wasn't like with Barak and Dvorah where there was ample time. This happened very, very quickly. Vayomer Gidon Elokim. So, but now it's not enough. Gidon says, gotta test God again. Gidon didn't have that much emunah, even after all was said and done. So Gidon said, listen, God, I have to check you out. Im yeshcha Moshe b'yad Yisrael, will you save the Jews, kasher dibarta, like you said? So the Radak says, This might have been a vision, but probably wasn't. The Rambam says it definitely was a vision, okay? Because but in any event, a dream, he says. Now the question is, we know it's forbidden to test God. It says you're not allowed to be Menatzeh Hashem. You're not allowed to test God. So how can you get on here to test God? It's about to test him. So the answer is just given, say you're not allowed to test God's capacities, his capabilities. But you are allowed to test if God's going to be involved with you. So here too, Gideon was testing whether God's going to be involved with him. Now, just before we start talking about the test himself, the Rabbag says that these also, so Rabbag is very consistent in this whole parak. He says that these signs were done by a prophet. I guess Eliyahu HaNavi came back to do these signs here. And they also were not done by God himself directly. All right, what are the tests? So he says, Hine, behold, Anochi Matzigas Gizas Atzemer Bagorin. I'm going to put down a blanket made out of wool in the silo. In other words, out in the open. V'imtal Yel Agizel Levada, if overnight there's only going to be dew on the blanket, V'akolo Etzchorev, and the rest of the land is going to be dry, V'yotati Gizel Shir B'yodi Es Yisrael. I know you're going to save the Jews in my hands, Kasher Dibarto, like you said. Now the Bible says it's a symbolic miracle. Why? Because the blanket represents Gidon, and the land represents the rest of Am Yisrael. And if the blanket is wet, that symbols that even if Gidon, only Gidon, has merit, that's going to be enough for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save Am Yisrael through Gidon. So that's the symbolism of the miracle. Vayichei, that's what happened. Vayashkemi Macharas, and he got up early in the morning. Vayozer Sagiza, he picked up the Giza, and he shook it. Vayimet Taumin HaGiza, and he squeezed out dew from the blanket, a bucket full of water. Now, according to Chazal, however, it wasn't that the rest of the land was dry. Because there's a bris, there's a covenant, that Tal never ceases. There's no dew always materializes at night. Rather, the blanket was much wetter than the surrounding ground. And that too can be taken to be a metaphor, not a metaphor, but an illusion. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling you there's no such thing as Am Yisrael not having merit. No such thing. Am Yisrael always has merit. Perhaps it's very little. But just like dew never ceases, so too Am Yisrael never ceases having merit. Then, that was the first miracle, and that wasn't so miraculous, for two reasons. A, the ground was also wet. just not as wet. And B, the Mepharshim point out, it's natural that a blanket is going to get wetter than the ground around it. So now the Gidon said, let's try it the other way around. Vayomer Gidon Elokim, Gidon said to God, don't get upset at me, and I'll try again. I'll try again, but this time should be the other round, way around. The blanket should be dry. And on the rest of the and on the ground there should be dew. Now that's the opposite. And here the Malbim says the symbolism is that even if I don't have merit, will you save Am Yisrael for their merit? And later on, in fact, we're going to see at the end of the war, at the beginning of the war, Gideon does almost everything single-handedly. At the end of the war, Am Yisrael does much more without Gideon's intervention. We're going to see that in the next parak. So what's going to be, will you do that? And here, because Baruch Hu Taka can make the blanket completely dry. So this is indeed what happened here. The second miracle, Vayas Elokim came Balailahu, God did it on the second night. Vaychorev Elagiz Levada, and it was dry only on the blanket. Vaychorev Sayatal, and on the land, all of the land surrounding it, there was dew. Okay. Vayomer Asher, Vayashkem Yerubal. So the next morning, Yerubal got up early. By the way, we don't know if this happened I guess it's two nights, yeah. Okay, so now we're dealing two nights later, two mornings later. Vashkem Baal, Yerubal, Gidon. Gidon, who's Yerubal, got up. V'chol Amasharito, and all the people were with him. V'yachanu al Ein Charod, and they camped on Ein Charod. Machne Midyan ha'yolo mitzafon, and the Midianites were up north. Migiva Samore, they were northerly of Giva Samore ba'emek in the valley. This pasuk is laden with symbolism. It says, Gidon here is called Yerubal. And they camp by Ein Harod. If you take a look very quickly, Pasuk Gimel, we'll come back to it in a minute, he says, Mi Yorei V'Chored. Right? The parallel here between Yerubal and Yorei, and Harod and Chored. But that's not all. It says that here the Midianites are camped Mitzafon Migivas Hamoreh. They were north of Givas Hamoreh. Givas Hamoreh, the Targumir translates Migivaso de Mistakayo, the hill of the scouts, where they used to gaze to see what's going on. Well, way back when, in Parshas Bamidbar, in Sefer Bamidbar, one of the places where Balak took Bilam is to the Tzofim. What's it called there? State Tzofim. And the State Tzofim, the Targum there says, Chakau Sachusa. The place to gaze as well. So there's a parallel here that these Midianites were in the place of Tzofim, and Bilam also was taken to Tzofim. So obviously there's a correlation, which is of course that Bilam had Bilam's whole power and Midian's power was to gaze at Am Yisrael to find the weak points, right? Their re'iyah, their gazing, was to find where they could create strife between God and Am Yisrael by finding the weak points of Am Yisrael, the stress points, so to speak. How does Am Yisrael correct that kind of, or fend off that kind of threat? By using the power of re'iyah, of gazing, for the right purpose. And the right purpose of gazing is to be ro'eh, to see, to have a vision, to have a perspective, to have a clarity of perspective on the right things. And what's the right kind of re'iyah? We mentioned this before. Yiras Hashem. Right? Re'iyah should lead to Yiras Hashem, which is, of course, Yira and Harada L'Shem Shamayim. To have fear and to have Harada, to have trembling for the sake of heaven. So I believe that the Yori and Chored and Pasuk Aleph here connote the antidote for the Giva Samoreh, for the type of vision which was represented by Midian. And we're going to see that here throughout the parasha. That's that. Kobi Deshaim Chutz Mira Shemaim. That was the antidote for Midian. Vayomer Hashem El Gidon, God said to Gidon, Rav Amashreitach, you know, you got too many people with you. This is no good. Why? Mititias midibiyah, I can't give it over to so many people's hands. Peni spora la Yisrael, because the Jews might then take pride and say, Lemo yodi oshioli, that it's my hand which saved me. The Jews were still not big ma'aminim. We never saw any mass tshuva movement here. It ain't happening. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch said, I have to make something which is going to be pretty miraculous. Which everybody's going to have to know that is clearly something which I HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. So you know what? Batokra nabas ne'am, call out in the hands of the ears of the nation. Lamar, tell them the following: Me areva chared, who's fearful? And this is a bad fear, right? Whose people? It says who has fearful? Pachadu b'tzion chotim. The Gemara says, if person's fearful, it means they are sinners. So those people who have raw bad year and bad charada, yashov, let them stand back. V'yitzbar. And in the morning, they'll go home. Now, the Balaam says, why are they going to go home in the morning? Because they're going to play a crucial role in the battle later on. Since they didn't go home until the morning, really, they stayed behind. They stayed behind the lines, and they didn't go home, but they didn't participate in the first stage of battle. They'll participate in the later stage of battle. And God had that in mind. So Yashov, V'yitzbar, in the morning, they'll go back to Mihar Gilad. V'yashov, V'yitzbar, V'yitzbar, I made a mistake here. I read this wrong, so I have a whole note here, which is based on a wrong reading. So I'm just going to skip my note here, which I thought was 22,000. All right, let's skip what I wrote there in the pasuk base. So they were left with 20,000 left, Vaseres Alafim Nisharu, and 10,000 people were left over. No, I was right.
You're right.
Yeah, Vayashu Miram Mitzvim Elav. Okay, that's 22,000. I did read it right. Okay, 22,000 is a very significant number. Now my notes is good. 22,000 is a very significant number because it says, Ein HaShgumaran in Babakanta Pei Gimel, Ein HaShchina Shore Elav in 22,000 people in Am Yisrael. The Shekhinah rests in a minimum of 22,000 people. Right? Because it says, Shuv Hashem Rivavos Alfei Yisrael. Rivavos is 20,000. Alfei is 2,000. So 22,000 people left. It's a very significant number. So why did Kadosh Baruch Hu cause 22,000 people to leave? I believe Kadosh Baruch Hu was trying to make sure that they couldn't attribute anything to their superstitions. Because if these 22,000 people would say, we're still left, they would say, oh! The reason why we have the Yeshua is because we had this lucky number of 22,000. So Kadosh Baruch Hu made sure 22,000 left. 000. So then they're originally 32,000, which is also a very significant number, because in Kabbalah 32 represents a perfection of 22 plus 10. So first the 22 left. Then they were left with 10,000. That also is no good. 10,000 is also a significant number. 10,000, we said several times before. 10,000 represents perfection, right? Five digits. Nefesh, ruach, neshama, chai, yechida. God says, no good. Still, too big a number and too symbolic a number. Let's get rid of them. Vayomer Hashem Gidon, Odom Rav. Horeda Samalamayim. Bring them down to the water. Vatzafenu luchot sham, and they'll refine them for you. Those who I say to you, they should go with you. Who they'll go with you. Those who I say, they shouldn't go with you. They're not going to go with you. And he brought the nation down to the water. Hashem said to Gidon, anybody who laps up the water like a dog, you have to go like this. They would take the water in their hand and lap the water from their hand, like a dog. Because you can't drink water like this. You can't cup your hand to your mouth and drink it. You have to lap it up with your tongue. So anybody does that, Tatsigo Solavado, put it by himself. Anybody who bends down their knees and drinks directly from the water, put them by themselves. Those who licked with their hands were 300. Chol Yisrael, 9,700 people, Korab Yerkeim Lishtos Mayim, they bowed down on their knees to drink the water. Vayomer Hashem al Gidon, Hashem said to Gidon, Oh, B'shlosh Mil Sa'ish HaMalakikim, with those 300 people who lick, Those are the ones I want. Oshia Eschem, with them I'll save you. V'nasati tzmidyom biyadecha. And I'll put, give me into your hands. V'chol am yochishim kol, the rest of them send home. Now 300 is very significant, because we don't have the time to go into today. 300 in Chazal is always a number which represents bad things. 400 is good things. 300 is bad things. Maharal speaks about great length, Reb Tzadok, all over, 300 represents bad things. So Kodesh Baruch Hu Dafka picked a number of people which is a superstitiously bad number, like the number 13. Shem said, I Dafka want 300 people. Now why the 300 people who licked and not the 9,700 who bowed down? So first of all, it says here, Litzarif. It says, V'atzafenu l'cha. And we know mitzvahs were given Litzarif b'nitzabriyos to refine individuals. So clearly, if a person bends down to drink, if he kneels, then it's not considered to be refined behavior. So these are the people who obviously were not shomer Torah mitzvahs, so probably send them home. That's one pshat. The Rabbah says those who kneeled and drank were lazy. If they weren't good warriors, if they weren't lazy, they would have stood, they would have drawn up the water in their hands, they wouldn't have kneeled down to drink. Rashi says that they kneeled down to Avodah Zarah. Why did they kneel? Because they were used to kneeling down to Avodah Zarah, and that's why they were sent home. They were idolaters. The Radak and Malbim say, amazing thing, they were from Chazal, that they worshipped their own reflection in the water. So I guess what it means is why they worship their own reflection. They wanted to connect to their own powers as Tzelem Elohim, which is also Avodah Zarah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, people who want to connect to their own powers as Tzelem Elohim, that's what they're worshipping, their divine nature. That's also Avodah Zarah. That's people who should be sent home. And they were sent home, period. The Bible says the other guys were sent home in the morning. And in reality, they also participated in the battle, the first 22,000. These people, the Cholam Yehu Ishlam Kamo, these people, all of them were sent home immediately. We don't want any Oide Avodah Zarah with them participating in this battle. People in Urayim, because they are fearful because they did sins, they can participate. People of the Avodah Zarah, they have to be sent home immediately, and we have to go down.